One day, many years ago, a baby was born at Kerioth, a small village just 10 miles south of Hebron. His parents, looking forward to the promise of a great manhood, named him Praise. Friends and relatives brought gifts to celebrate the new life that was born into this world. Not far away, southeast of the city of Jerusalem, was born a baby in the village of Bethlehem. Shepherds and wise men brought gifts to this child, whose name they called Savior. Many years later, the baby of Bethlehem met the baby of Kerioth. Jesus called Judas to be an apostle. He was the only Judean in the apostolic band, all of the others being Galileans, probably because of the talent for administrations, which was common among the Judeans. Judas was naturally more fitted to be the treasurer of the apostolic band, more so than any Galilean. To use a man for what he is naturally best fitted is to keep him happy. Yet life's temptations come most often from that for which one has the greatest aptitude. The first knowledge of the betrayal of Judas is not when Jesus instituted the memorial of his death at the Last Supper, but when he promised it in the beginning of his public ministry. John chapter 6 and verse 65 tells us, Jesus knew from the first which were those who did not believe, and which of them would betray him. It happened while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. John chapter 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. The hand on the dial already pointed to the hour of his death. From that moment on, Jesus endured the presence of the one that he knew would betray him. The sixth day before the crucifixion, a great supper was made at Bethany, at which Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that was at the table with him. Mary, realizing the future better than any other guest, and how near that he was to his death, anointed him in preparation for the burial. When Judas saw the ointment being poured forth, he immediately set a price upon it. For Judas, this would be a week of price-setting, because in a few days he would value the life of our Lord at 30 pieces of silver. Now, the ointment he valued at about 300 pence, for in those days the wages of a man was a penny a day, as jealousy has been described as the tribute that mediocrity pays to genius, so critics may be described as men who have failed. Judas was too materialistic to be concerned with the beauty of the deed. He failed to see that some offerings are so sacred that a price can never be put upon them. Mary no doubt felt an inward urgency to do this, but Judas, putting on the mask of charity, simulated anger that such precious perfume should be wasted. John gave the reason for his statement. It was not that he was concerned for the poor, but because he was a thief. What a contrast between the money box of Judas and the alabaster box of Mary, between the 30 pieces of silver and the 300 pence, between true liberality and hypocritical interest in the poor. Our Lord was going to his grave. There was no chance to anoint his physical body again. But the poor we will always have with us. Jesus spoke openly of his death, saying, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this," saying that Mary was anointing him for a sacrifice. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.